your Milwaukee Brewers. I am so excited about what Jacob Mizrowski is going to do, but it is not just the pitching. No, it has been the offense as well. And to break it down, to talk about the Brew Crew, we have Jeff Levering, voice of your Brewers, joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. I guess you liked the seeds on the inside joke, huh?
I was caught off guard by that. Good work, Jen. Very nice. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Ooh, seeds on the inside.
That's what we do here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Jeff.
We don't want to ease you in. We want to just get right to how it's going to go. So I was just telling you guys this morning.
Rip that Band-Aid right off. Thank you.
This is the first time since, I think, 2011, which feels like a very long time ago because it was, where you are seeing incredible signs of a emerging offense, what could be a dominant offense. And of course, we know all of the moves that they have from a pitching standpoint. Is this a year where fans can actually not just focus on one side, the offense or the defense, the pitching or the lineup? You can be excited about both?
I think so. And I think that was the case a few years ago, too, where you had all these aces when Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta were just dealing at the same time. And the offense was rolling in 2021. It felt like 2023 was a very good offensive year. Last year was very dynamic with the pitching to go along with it. But I think that it's been a really long time in this Brewers franchise history where they've had this much young talent on the pitching side, right? You have to go back to that Freddie Woodruff Burns at the beginning of their career in 2018. You're almost seeing the second wave of that right now. But what they did offensively over the weekend against the Twins was really impressive. 35 runs. They only hit two homers, and both of those came yesterday. A solo shot by Hoskins, a three-run homer by Bryce Turang. It's a fun brand of baseball that the Brewers are playing, and Murph likes talking about it a lot, where he wants his opponents to feel the Brewers, right? They want to be felt every single time, and I think Twins were certainly feeling the Brewers all weekend long.
Jeff, does the front office not get enough credit? Because I've said it like a couple months ago, out of the professional sports teams in Wisconsin, Packers, Bucks, I trust the Brewers the most. And there was that dust up at the end of the season that Ananasio didn't spend enough money. But they figure it out. You know, my thing is, I don't think they get enough credit because they deserve a ton for what they've built this roster.
Yeah, Chewy, I think you're right. I think that the Brewers have been doing this now for 10 years, right? They've won division three out of the last 4 years. With going into every season, you go, how are they going to do it? Why aren't the Cubs winning? Why aren't the Cardinals winning? I don't get why the Reds aren't winning it. They keep doing it year after year, and nobody is believing in it. Even at the highest levels of Major League Baseball, people don't believe that the Brewers are doing it. But year in and year out, they do it. The Brewers have a secret sauce, man, and this front office is really impressive. What they've been able to do with the budget that they've been able to put together, continue to drop the payroll year after year, but they're still producing at an extremely high level on the field.
What's your favorite Jacob Mizrowski pitch?
Oh, the Miz?
I was going to say,
the one that we're calling the
favorite child question over here, Jeff.
Well, because you got the 100-mile-an-hour gas, you got the slider that literally made a man fall down this week, and you have a changeup that has been reported as having 17 inches of run. So you got a lot of choices.
Yeah, Miss Lippy's car is green as well. So, I think my favorite Miz pitch is, Lane and I started calling it the Miz because we don't know whether it's a cutter or a slider, that 96 mile an hour thing that almost killed Castro. Sorry, that's kind of a bad joke there, but like Willie Castro looked like a wine bottle, like a corkscrew in that batter's box. So my favorite of the Miz pitches is the Miz.
I like because there's way too much debate about what it is that I see on Twitter. Like, the only thing I know is that it's awesome, and I love that you guys already have a nickname for it.
I mean, why not? It's his pitch, right? It's the Miz, and he is the Miz. It's great. I can't wait for Wednesday. By the way,
is that what the is that what the players call him, Miz?
Yes.
They got to spoof this thing from Seinfeld. Nobody beats the Miz.
He's the Miz, and nobody beats him.
Yes.
Nobody beats the Miz.
Yeah, I mean, Wednesday, Jeff.
He's pretty impressive.
Wednesday, I mean, get to your seats early, because you're not going to want to miss Skeens versus Miz.
No, this is, I mean, what Skeens did last year, being a number one overall pick and all the hype around him. And I mean, he's deserved every bit of it, what Skeens did. But what Mizorowski did is even better. What Mizorowski has done, nobody's ever done, at least since 1920, go out there and throw 11 no-hit innings to start your big league career, not just Brewers franchise history. This is Major League Baseball that they can find in the record books. So it's super impressive. Wednesday's game is one that you just sit back, and if you like pitching matchups, that's the one that you want to be at. You don't care if anybody scores. It's a race to one, and if someone gets to one, fine, good for you. But at that same, you want to see those guys out there, and you want to see them pitching. You want to see the high octane. You want to see all the nasty stuff that they're throwing. It's going to be great on Wednesday.
Jeff Levering hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, talking about the Brew Crew, who are now just 3.5 games back of the Cubs. And I think the last time I checked, have one of the top run scoring offenses in the league. The Cubs are obviously up there. The Dodgers are up there. The Phillies are up there. But I think the Brewers are right next as far as how many runs they've scored when we talk about the offense. So let's talk about Christian Yelich, because what he has done over the last month, I think, has been remarkable. When you talk about the journey he has been on, the back injuries he has dealt with, having to just basically reinvent himself at the plate, what is the simplest explanation for why he has had this resurgence?
Well, think about a month ago, he was hitting 184. And where's he now? He's almost 260.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 259.
That's a lot of at-bats. Yeah, that's a lot of at-bats to cover that much ground. I think it's one of two things, Jen. I think, number one, he feels healthy. He feels good. His back's in a good place. Number two, he's getting used to DHing every day. He's never done that every day. He's always gone out and played left field. He's had something to escape his at-bats. But when you're a DH, that's all you do. That's the only way that you're able to help your team win, is by, on the field at least, is by hitting. And that you could have a bad at bat and you could sit on that thing for 2 weeks if you want to. Or if you have a bad at bat, you stew on it for three innings until you have an opportunity to get back to the plate again. I think he's really learned how to be a DH. And it took some time, and that's fine. But man, this version of Christian Yelich, hitting balls the other way, hitting homers, pull side with the off speed stuff, he's driving in runs. This is vintage Yelich. This is fun to watch.
Jeff, how close is Woodruff?
I think he's getting close. I mean, he's out. I think he threw a bullpen the other day, and then he's going to go out again for another rehab assignment. I think all the swelling is gone in his elbow. But you got to make sure that everything is right. He's had the ankle stuff. Of course, the shoulder is number one that you got to deal with. But after the line drive off the elbow, you got to make sure he's right as rain. And it seemed like he's going to be close to going on a rehab assignment pretty soon.
What's allowed Sal Frelick to take that jump offensively this year?
Well, he hit the weight room in the offseason. I don't think that has a ton to do with it, but I just think he knows what he needs to do to get on base. He's always been that kind of guy. He's always been a pesky kind of hitter, but the thing is that he's hitting the ball with a lot more authority now.
Yeah.
And it's the high pitch too. And you think, for a guy that's 5'8", on a good day, to hit that high pitch, there was somebody who reached out to me on Twitter early on in the season. He was hitting these high pitches, and he goes, don't think that has anything to do, or absolutely has something to do with the fact that he was a hockey player and swinging a hockey stick left-handed, because you have to have a really good top hand to swing a hockey stick left-handed. What do you think he's doing? He's doing that, and he's a right-handed dominant person too. So that bottom hand is a right-handed dominant person, is your guide hand offensively for a left-handed batter, but you have to have a really strong left hand to go along with it. And that absolutely has to do with hockey. But I think for Sal, he's really starting to get to know himself, and he knows what he needs to do at the plate every time he's coming up. He's getting on base, and him in the leadoff spot, leave him there. Just leave him there.
Jeff Levering hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I want to talk about Mizorowski just a little bit, because you have had the opportunity to kind of get to know him certainly better than we have. He's a young kid. It feels a little like the stage is not too big for him. I keep wondering if there's going to be this moment of like, wow, I'm really doing what I'm doing. I'm really doing it on this stage against the best in the world. What about his makeup leads you to believe that he can handle the bright lights of this position? And we were just talking about Potawatomi, man. He was plus 1,200 to win Rookie of the Year before. I think it was before his first start, or
right after his
first start, and now it's down to plus 175. Is that right, Josh?
Correct.
I mean, oh, man. The world is aware of the Miz, I guess is what we'll, how we'll put that.
I would say that his temperament is perfect for his situation, right? So he lives baseball. He loves baseball. He loves going out there and competing. And if you ask him, how did you learn how to throw 100? He'll just say, well, I just picked up the ball and that's what my arm does. That's what my body does. It's like, dude, thank you. That's awesome. Good for you. He clearly is not a gym rat, right? I mean, he is 125 pounds soaking wet with ankle weights on, and he's 6'7". So he's got all these levers that are, it's just amazing to watch. And he's like, he's not even a baseball junkie, so to speak. Like, he didn't grow up loving the sport. He's like, hey, I was blessed with this gift and I'm going to use it to the best of my abilities. But at the end of the day, in the off season, sure, I'll go play catch, but I'd love to go play Dungeons and Dragons in the basement because that's what I want to do. That's the stuff that he loves. So it's like, dude, I love your temperament because all you want to do is go play ball and you want to go have fun and you want to embarrass these people. His energy on the mound is amazing. He strikes dudes out and he's jumping off the mound. I love it. I love seeing it. It's almost the ignorance is bliss for Jacob Mizorowski.
Jeff, thick burger or thin burger? The only reason I ask is because my wife did the shopping this weekend and got burgers that I could cook with a candle.
Oh, okay. So you're out on smash burgers?
I don't think I've ever had a smash burger. But I like a thick, you know, not obnoxiously big, but I'd like to be able to tell if the burger is medium rare the way I like it.
Well, let's make sure your boogers are rare before your burger is medium rare. So,
did I say booger? I love it.
It's all right. We've all been there.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I think I fritzed out at an Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin read this week that's out there somewhere. I would like to taste my burger as well, but I am not opposed to a smash burger. I love that on my griddle outside.
Wait, okay. So you do the smash burger yourself?
Yes, for sure.
So explain to Chewy how you do it, because he thought that in order to make your own burgers, you needed to have like an egg and breadcrumbs, and he didn't realize that the burger is just ground meat.
Well, you can if you want to get all fancy with it, but you could just do some sort of a mix with your ground meat and roll it up into a ball, put it on the grill, and then put a piece of parchment paper over the burger and then smash it down.
So it's cooking as a ball for a little while and then you smash it?
Just a bit. Yeah, just as a quick little sear.
Okay.
Quick little sear. And then you smash it down.
All right, I'll give it
a
run.
See, the problem with these burgers that Chewy's wife bought, they were not smash burgers.
No, they're like White Castle specials. See, I'm not a White Castle burger guy.
Yes, there it is. In fact, we were in Joliet this past weekend for a baseball tournament, and Chase and I, my son who's 16, passed a number of White Castles, and every time I was like, hey, yeah. Hey, you want to? And he's like, absolutely not. I'm wearing white pants.
Oh my gosh. He did it because he was wearing white pants?
Yeah.
Which I gotta Come say, on. I gotta say,
that's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can't be out there going down for that ground ball.
Kids are ruthless. Kids see something like that, you're never gonna live that down.
And having a white
post game snack. Yeah, post game snack. But who's doing laundry? Who's doing laundry? You or Dario? So, I mean, that's also a big, big deal.
I think we all know the answer to that one, Jeff. We're gonna let you go on that, though. Great to have you joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Hopefully we'll chat with you a lot more as we are very excited about what the Brewers are putting together this 2025 season. Have a good one, man.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Thank you.
Again, I don't want to oversell it, but man, I'm getting excited. I'm getting a little giddy about what this Brewers team can do. And obviously Wednesday will just be, I mean, is Wednesday going to be the highlight of, I hope not. I hope that Wednesday Skeens v. Mizorowski is not the highlight of the regular season.
You can't get too high yet, though. Can't get too high, can't get too low.
Can I be excited for Skeens versus Mizorowski?
Can I at least be excited
for it?
Without, you know, the judgment?
Yeah. I can be excited, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's literally the best pitcher in baseball. But going up against a guy who started his career with 11 straight no-hit innings. He's given up one hit in two starts.
And he was so mad that he gave up that hit, by the way.
But they turns out when you throw 100, they barrel it.
They
it goes
split
a long way.
With the Cubs one game to one. Are you fine with that? Or is it still? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, I told you at the time that that wasn't going to be a big, you know, year-defining series. And
well, I mean, you were the only ones.
Yeah, they went in there, they split. It was fine.
Yeah.
And then they just beat the crowd.
I think we're having a philosophical conversation here, guys, because no one said that it was going to be the end-all, be-all.
But they said it was a huge matchup.
He said big.
Wasn't Twitter saying huge, this is a big? It's not.
It's a great straw man. Also, I'm not letting Chewy rain on my damn parade. I'm going to get excited. Raining. I'm going to get juiced up. You're the big rainer. You're the big pooper.
I think I'm the realist.
No. I think if we start acting like you, we're going to start hating everything.
Well, and you're halfway there. Stuff.
I know.
You're the most angry person on the show.
You can't take it from me.
That's big talk coming for you on a Monday.
Friends get engaged and he just blows them off.
Wasn't a blow off.
Yeah, it was technically a blow off.
See, this is why you're the most angry, because you get in a fight with Josh and the first thing you do
is dime me out.
They texted him. They texted him Sunday afternoon and said, "Hey, we got engaged. Do you want to go have a couple pops?" He didn't even respond.
Shout out to Jake and Sarah, who are loyal listeners.
Here we go.
He just made up for it. No, he just made up for it. Shouting him out on the radio is a lot more important than showing
him. Who gets credit?
Up.
Why are you giving him credit? I get the credit.
I am so uncomfortable right now, guys.
You know what? He does get the credit. I don't know if you'd have brought it up, because he panicked and then you panicked. You guys are having a panic off right now.
I love taking people out. It's a lot of fun.
It's very scary, though, just so you know. Like, this is now where the point where I'm about to say something and I go, you know what? I'm going to keep that one to myself, because you never know when it's going to show up on the radio.
The second you get in a fight, you just dime about.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Let's be clear here. I'm under the understanding with Chewy. Anything I say to him could or may be repeated.
That's smart by you.
Yeah. Yes. Anything you say to Chewy can and will be used against you.
Why should I not have said that?
I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
They understood.
Yeah, they know who Josh is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's sing a reed.
All right, Jen, what you got over there?
I got nothing.
Yeah. We're going to go to break.